Mamas, it's Megan. As VBAC moms, we are accustomed to change. Perhaps a change in birth plans, or change in providers along your VBAC journey. One of our favorite brands, Coterie, is here for the changes in you and your baby's lives. We know that the little things can make a big impact, like a diaper that you can truly count on. Coterie is just that. These diapers are ultra soft, absorbent, and made with non-toxic materials, making them perfect for babies in every stage. Take 20% off your first order of $40 or more with code VBAC20 and experience the Coterie difference. You can find that at coterie.com and again, use code VBAC, VBAC20.
Good morning, women of strength. It is Julie here with you again today, and I have got my new friend, Ramika, here to share her VBAC story with us today. Ramika is going to talk about all about having her VBAC in Fresno, California. And I'm really excited to hear her story. But before we get into that, I do have a review of the week. And this one is from Apple Podcasts. And the title is Chicken Soup for the C-Section Mom's Soul. And she says, I cannot thank you enough for this podcast. I think I cry every single episode I listen to. It feels cathartic and somehow conversational and therapeutic to listen to. My birth center birth turned C-section when my son flipped breech in labor and presented meconium. Legally, we had to transfer, but no OB would attempt a breech delivery. So I was left devastated and knowing I wanted a VBAC at the center someday. This podcast has been healing and inspiring to listen to. Every time I feel anxious about the idea of a future birth, I come here and listen. I always leave encouraged. My son is only 4 months old, so I'm a long way from my future VBAC, but I cannot wait to get there someday and feel confident in my hopes to attempt one at the birth center. Thanks to you. I'm really grateful for that review and so excited that she finds lots of peace with the podcast. If you guys haven't had a chance yet, go ahead and pause this episode, head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a review. 5-star reviews really warm our heart and help more people find the podcast as well. So it's definitely doing everybody a solid.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Okay, I am here today with Ramika, and I'm so excited to let her share her story with you. She says after a traumatic birth that ended in a C-section, she did extensive research on providers in her area to find the most supportive option. She utilized pelvic floor therapy, chiropractic, and she even hired one of our VBAC Link certified doulas to help her achieve a redemptive, unmedicated VBAC. Now, we're going to talk a little bit at the end of the episode more about tools that you can use if you want to prepare to have an unmedicated VBAC. And I'm excited to hear more about this story. So Ramika, go ahead and take it over for us.
Hi, Julie. Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here. So I'll just touch about my first birth. So I was induced at 40 weeks. I was started on Cervidil and then Pitocin. And honestly, everything was going pretty well. I enjoyed my induction up to the point that I got stalled at 8 centimeters and was in a lot of pain. I wasn't getting any breaks in between contractions. They didn't back off the Pitocin either. I didn't even know that was an option, truthfully. So then I ended up asking for a epidural. My body relaxed a little bit getting the epidural, but it got me to around 9 to 10 centimeters. However, my son was not in the right position. He was posterior and asynclitic and just not descending into the birth canal at all. So I was basically stuck at between 9 to 10 centimeters for numerous hours. I tried a ton of positions. I was on the peanut ball on all fours. My labor ended up being somewhere around 36 to 37 hours. I did a little bit of pushing, but not much. And my provider, my previous provider, was pretty much just waiting at the hospital. He was actually, ironically, he was reading a book when all that was going down and kind of popping in and out, and just basically waited at the hospital, which was initially what I thought was a good thing, kind of turned into a bad thing because he was pretty much, I was pretty much on the clock at that point, you know. He was a great doctor, but just not in that, the position that I was in. So anyway, he basically at that point stepped in after being stuck from 9 to 10, about 10 centimeters for hours, and told me basically that my only option was C-section, that if my son were to come out vaginally at that point, he would quote unquote look like a WWE wrestler, and that we would need vacuum and forceps, and really just fear-mongered me into a C-section because obviously I didn't want that to happen. So we ended up going back into the OR, and I just remember, you know, the traumatic experience kind of happening just because I didn't feel like it was my choice at that point. I didn't feel like I was, you know, in charge of my birth at all. And I actually remember asking my provider if it was possible for me to have a vaginal birth in the future, like even before they had taken me back to the OR. And he had told me, you know, once a C-section mom, always a C-section mom, and had tried to be like super encouraging about C-sections and how they wouldn't affect, you know, that basically trying to say they're no different than a vaginal birth. And anyway, it was just this whole show. Anyway, I just remember having almost like a panic attack on the table. Like it was a really, really just a bad experience. And I was pretty much numb to everything, but I'll never forget the moment that my son was born. He was crying and the nurses had weighed him and swaddled him. And the second they brought him to my face, he immediately stopped crying and the whole OR just went completely silent. So it was a really sweet and special moment for, despite how traumatic the rest of my story was, just really feeling like my provider had fear-mongered me into the kind of the whole situation that I was in, and really truly not feeling like I had agreed to the C-section that was happening and not really understanding what was going on. You know, I know at one point one of the nurses had mentioned giving me some Benadryl to just kind of let me relax a little bit and like taking a break from the Pitocin and letting my body just have a break to do its thing since I was fully dilated. But I remember my provider had stepped in and was like, no, her pelvis is just too small. Like, cause I am a more petite person. I'm shorter in stature. And he had basically just immediately labeled, because things weren't progressing on his terms, he had just deemed me incapable of giving birth vaginally or naturally. So I was just really disheartening. And yeah, like I said, just feeling like I had completely lost control, and it just felt very traumatic for me and my son. Anyway, but that sweet moment in the OR, I will never forget that. But postpartum, I felt really sad about my birth, and I replayed it over and over in my head quite a bit on just how I should have done things differently. I felt like I didn't use my voice, and I feel like I'm not really the type of person to not use my voice. So I was really surprised that that's how it all went down. It was very unlike myself and my husband to not advocate for ourselves. And I pretty much just healed with my son's birth when I came to the conclusion that God was in charge that day and my son was meant to come into this world the way he did for a reason. And for the moments where I felt like I should have spoken up and didn't, maybe there was a reason why it all happened the way that it did. My son was also our double rainbow baby, so he really was our little gift from God. So I got closure from the whole birth, from that whole traumatic birth experience, from just, you know, just telling myself that God was in charge that day. And for reasons unknown to me, he was born the way he was. And thankfully, everything was fine. But in the countless hours and nights that I stayed up breastfeeding my son and rocking him to sleep, I did a lot of research actually on VBACs and became really passionate about natural unmedicated births. And I knew that if I gave birth again, I really wanted my story to be different. And I actually joined a local VBAC Facebook group, and I found the VBAC Link Facebook group and kind of started diving into those, doing some research. And then I found the podcast and really just found all the information on there really inspiring and eye-opening how there's still so much stigma in today's world that once you're a C-section mom, you're always going to be a C-section mom. And after doing all the research and resources that I found, it just couldn't be further from the truth. So before I even became pregnant again, I started scheduling interviews with local doctors at different hospitals and just asking them questions. I actually printed out the questions from the VBAC link resource page. And I literally just printed out and went into meetings with providers, not even being pregnant again, because I just wanted to do, I wanted to do the work ahead of time. So that way, when I became pregnant, I would just, you know, I was able to just enjoy my pregnancy and not have to stress out about anything. So additionally, I started going to pelvic floor therapy to really heal my core. And I learned that I had a really tight pelvic floor. So I began working on that and just getting more in tune with my body. I also even started looking up hospital statistics and C-section rates. And then that led me into starting to research doulas and talking to them about local providers and experiences with different hospitals. And I gathered more information on that route. And then I found my doula from the VBAC link list, Mona Lisa Orduno. She's Mona Lisa the doula on Instagram. She really encouraged me to look into a provider who was actually an hour away from me. And he's also listed on the VBAC Link's provider list, Dr. Talk in Hanford. Initially, I had written him off as an option simply because an hour away just sounded way too far and just a lot for doctor visits. And also just imagining myself laboring and driving an hour, having my husband drive me an hour away just sounded a little scary. So I had initially, like I said, written that off, but Mona Lisa really encouraged me that he was the best option. And so I ended up having an appointment with him and interviewing him and really liked him. He answered all of the questions the way that I had hoped. And I really felt that if I had any chance of a VBAC, it would be with him. And the hospital that he delivers at, it's actually significantly smaller than my previous hospital. And it's, I believe it's technically a birth center, but it's attached to a hospital. So throughout my pregnancy, I became pregnant. And then throughout my pregnancy, I continued to go to pelvic floor therapy and go to Webster certified chiropractors. And I was just really determined to try and focus on the positioning of my baby in the hopes that it would increase my chances of having a VBAC. Mona Lisa also had me doing spinning babies. And aside from listening to VBAC link episodes, I also read a couple books that really helped me, like Ina May's Guide to Childbirth and then Baby Got VBAC, which is a lot of positive birth stories. And then I also followed a little bit of Pain-Free Birth by Karen Welton's information that she had to share regarding unmedicated births. So I just really deep dove into a lot of information. Towards the end of my pregnancy, I actually got a notice that my insurance had not renewed a contract with my provider slash hospital that I was planning on delivering at. So I immediately called Mona Lisa, and thankfully she had another option for me of another supportive provider in the area. And so I had an appointment scheduled with him, but by the grace of God, my insurance apparently renegotiated a contract and I was covered again with my original provider, which was Dr. Talk. So that was kind of a crazy hiccup I wasn't expecting. But honestly, it was really because having Mona Lisa and her being VBAC link certified, the entire time I just really didn't feel like I had to worry. I felt like I was in really good hands. Anyway, the evening before I went into labor, I had a really bad backache, but I wasn't thinking much of it since I was 39 weeks pregnant and I really felt like I was going to go overdue. I didn't feel like I was going to give birth before 40 weeks and I was super pregnant, obviously, and I was carrying my 19-month-old son around all day. So I kind of just attributed that to the backache, but I went for a chiropractic adjustment right before we went out to dinner. And I was surprised that it didn't relieve my back pain at all. So that evening went to bed. And then the next morning I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I started to feel some cramps that were an on and off pattern. And I quickly downloaded a contraction timing app and then saw that the cramps were happening every 10 minutes. And I officially knew I was in labor. I was nervous and excited, but I ended up just tracking my contractions for a while. I was talking to Mona Lisa, and then we both decided that I needed to probably make my way to the hospital. And contractions at that point were about 5 minutes apart. And we had an hour long drive commute. And it was actually, I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning when we took off. So we had hit the morning commute, and it was mostly back roads. So that was also a funny experience. But I pretty much closed my eyes the whole way. My husband got us there safely. And I just remember opening my eyes as we were about to take the turn for the hospital exit and just thinking, thank you, God, I'm not going to have a car baby. That was my biggest fear for all of it. But yeah, we got to the hospital, walked in, we were checking in, and I at that point I could barely talk, and I was pretty much like leaned over the triage check-in table, and the nurse was asking me questions, and my husband kind of had to take over even talking. And I just remember she called back to the delivery rooms, and she made the comment, "We have one that just walked in and it looks pretty serious." And I remember thinking in my head, like, oh my gosh, like, did I wait too long? Like, it just felt really, it was all happening very quickly. And anyway, they checked me in, and I ended up being 7 centimeters dilated, and my doula was on her way. So she ended up getting there, perfect timing. And I labored for a little while, and I was progressing well and starting to get through the transition until I became stuck at 8 to 9 centimeters, which was kind of similar to my first birth. And I was immediately worried that I was going to have the same story. And Mona Lisa was great. She assured me that we were on track. Everything was going to be fine. We determined that that baby was descending, but due to positioning, baby needed to put more pressure on my cervix to dilate that little bit further. And I remember asking my doctor what to do, and he had told me to just keep moving. But Mona Lisa immediately like jumped in, had a game plan, and told my husband to stand behind me as I was. And so we were both standing up, and my husband was standing behind me and holding up my belly and pulling my belly towards my back. I'm sure there's a term for it, but I don't know exactly what it's called. But my husband did this for about 45 minutes straight. Then finally I had this strong urge to push, and I knew it was time. And I ended up laying on my back because I felt like that was the best position to give me the most strength. Anyway, I just remember, yeah, it was such a spiritual feeling. Even it being 10 centimeters unmedicated, I just felt like I was floating. It just felt so spiritual and like I was so close to God. It was such an amazing experience, especially compared to my first birth. And we actually waited to find out the gender for this baby. And so, you know, I pushed for about 45 minutes. Finally, baby was born, and my husband was able to announce that it was a girl, and our doctor immediately placed her on my chest. And I just remember my husband said to me, "You did it." And my Mona Lisa said the same. And I was just like on cloud nine, and we had 3 hours of uninterrupted golden hour. And it was just truly heaven. And it really just felt so fitting that I had a daughter for my redemptive birth experience.
Hey mamas, it's Megan. As VBAC moms, we are accustomed to change. Perhaps a change in birth plans or change in providers along your VBAC journey. One of our favorite brands, Coterie, is here for the changes in you and your baby's lives. We know that the little things can make a big impact, like a diaper that you can truly count on. Coterie is just that. These diapers are ultra soft, absorbent, and made with non-toxic materials, making them perfect for babies in every stage. Take 20% off your first order of $40 or more with code VBAC20 and experience the Coterie difference. You can find that at coterie.com, and again, use code VBAC, VBAC20.
Anyway, so I just remember reading a quote when I was doing all of my VBAC research, how the wound can become a gift. And I really felt like that with my story. My C-section and traumatic birth, it really made me a better mother. I feel like I quickly found my voice that I had lost that day, and it was louder than ever before. And I have always told myself that I'll never not advocate for myself or my family. And it really just also forced me to become very in tune with my body, because, you know, having a C-section, as we all know, is pretty hard on the body. And during my recovery, I really just wasn't sure if I was built to have a vaginal birth. I felt like, you know, after hearing my doctor tell me I had, you know, CPD and that I could never have a vaginal birth, it did make me question my anatomy. I also have scoliosis, so I thought that that might have contributed to my son's positioning. But yeah, I repaired my core through physical therapy. I became very in tune with my body and I rewrote my story. And I look back at my son's birth and honestly, I feel nothing but happiness because I can now honestly say that birthing both of my children, although each looked very different, they were the best days of my life. And I'm just really thankful for the VBAC link because it really did provide me with the information and resources. An example, my doctor, my doula, everything that I needed to have my dream VBAC birth. So that is both of my stories.
I absolutely love that. I love what you said about the wound can become a gift. Like that is so true. Like the VBAC link wouldn't even be here at all if Megan and I hadn't had our C-sections. Like,
right.
And what a gift has it been, I mean, to us especially, but also to the many people that are listening that have taken the classes, been a part of the community. Like, what a gift that has brought. Like, I just keep thinking, like, and something that I learned in therapy forever ago is, like, a muscle. Like, when you want a muscle to grow, mm-hmm. you don't just, like, let it sit there and, like, stroke it gently and be like, there, muscle, become stronger. You have to work it out. You lift weights. You strain it. You create that tension, which creates those tears, which hurts a little bit or sometimes a lot, right? In order for that muscle to be strengthened and grow. And it's the same thing with our minds and our bodies and our mental health and our personalities. It doesn't become weak by not getting tested and pushed and pulled and strained. You have to have that tension there in order for the growth to happen. And
I agree. And another like analogy that I remember I had read somewhere was, have you heard of the Japanese art? It's kintsugi.
Kintsugi, yes.
Yes. So that was like another analogy where, you know, it just really made me think of that with C-sections or anything, you know, traumatic that happens in your life where it's just, you make something good out of it.
Yeah. The beauty that comes out of that, and not discounting anybody's traumatic C-sections or unwanted births because
100%,
because something can bring a gift and result in something beautiful and still be hard and ugly at the time and still be hard and ugly now dealing with it. Right. It's 100%. Not either or. Both of those things can exist. I was talking about it's really funny because going way, way back 11 years ago, when my first was born, he has cerebral palsy. It's really mild. Most people don't know, but he's different enough, right? That it's a struggle. Mm-hmm. Some things are a struggle for him, especially like he's called what's called a right side hemi, right side hemiparesis. So it's his right hand, right foot, like those right appendages that are affected. And so like anything like ambidextrous, like anything he has to use two hands for, be coordinated, is clunky. He can't like turn his right hand around or reach too far. He walks on his toe on his right foot, like little things like that. Mm-hmm. And when he was born, we didn't know he had cerebral palsy, and he got diagnosed when he was 7 months old. And after that, like, we had occupational therapy come to our house until he was two, and we had to do stretches every diaper change and activities and exercises and things to really kind of help the brain regrow whatever nerves it could to like help repair the damage and things like that. And so we diligently, like every time we changed his diaper, we were doing stretches, we were doing his activities and exercises every day, like as they had told us to do. And it's funny because the occupational therapist that came to our house when my son was a baby still lives in my mother-in-law's neighborhood. Like they knew her before she had a relationship with her before we even knew them or before I even had a baby. Right. Yeah. And my sister-in-law had a baby shower on Saturday, and the occupational therapist came to the baby shower and she was talking about my son, Olin. She's like, how's my boy doing? And I was showing her his Hopkido classes and his tennis lessons and how good he's doing. And I told her, I promise there is a point to this. I promise it's going to circle back.
Love the story.
I told her, you know, it's a good thing he was my firstborn, because if I would have had two or three or four kids at the time, he would not have gotten the attention that he got at his diaper changes and for all his things. And I kind of like laughed, like, jokingly about it. And I'm like, you know, it's just, it was harder, you know, having yeah. 2, 3, 4 kids more is harder. And I was like, he's lucky he was the firstborn, you know? And she said, you know, these babies come when and how they're supposed to.
Yes.
And yes. That's the point, right? Is circling back to that. Like
100%.
I like how you talked that said God was in charge. Baby was meant mm-hmm. to come this way for a reason. All of those things, like the babies come when and how they are meant to. And whether you believe in God or any other type of energy, I feel like in a way, like we all believe in the same things. We just call it different sometimes, right? Like mm-hmm. whether you believe in the energy or Buddhism or any kind of higher power or the universe, we say a lot, the universe decides or whatever. I feel like we're all referencing the same thing. And there is purpose and there is a meaning for these things. And we can choose to learn and grow from them, or we can choose to let them kind of ruin and destroy us. And what we do with those situations, as hard and traumatic as they can be, is definitely up to us. And I know that that maybe sounds really simple, and I know it's not simple, and it can be very complicated, but we are in charge of our reactions. And how we navigate through these things is important.
Yeah, I agree. And I also should say, like, it's easy for me to say it now because I'm 2 years, you know, quote unquote, healed from my traumatic birth experience. So I completely agree with you, but I think just leaning into the, when you need to feel the feels and then knowing when mm-hmm. it's like, okay, I'm going to rewrite my story or, you know, do something about this, you know? And so, yeah, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Feel the feels. It's not healthy to stuff them down and let them live inside your body and hang out there and, you know, feel them. It's important to feel them, but it's also important to not live there.
Yes.
Feel them, let yourself feel them, acknowledge them, be curious about them, explore them, but don't live in them.
100%.
You have to have reprieve from that if you're ever going to get past it. Okay, cool. So I want to talk about preparing for unmedicated birth. I really like that you had a doula. I think it's super important. Doulas are really useful in lots of ways. We're going to link a blog in the show notes to the ways that doulas can benefit your birth. But there's actually evidence-based studies to show that having a doula decreases your chance of having a C-section by 35%. It decreases your need for needing an epidural. It increases your satisfaction with the birth experience, decreases your need for pain medication, all sorts of really cool things that doulas can bring you in. I always say doula is less expensive than an epidural is, but doulas can help through epidurals and through C-section births, all the types of things, right? Mm-hmm. Having a doula there is such a great benefit. And I know that having a doula for me helped prepare me for my first VBAC, especially when I was still like very unfamiliar with that, though all those sensations was especially helpful. But what are some other things that you think helped you prepare to go unmedicated for your VBAC?
You know, just really, I read somewhere or listened on a podcast where they had said how birth is like a long, windy road and you kind of just have to lean into the curves. And when there's speed bumps, just don't get, you know, don't become undone when there becomes a few speed bumps and just trust the process. And so that's really how I kind of went about it. I just, honestly, I think I had my eyes closed like 90% of my my labor, including the car ride. And I just was really focused and didn't let any outside noise get in. And I had a birth playlist and I just tried to keep myself as calm as possible, take one contraction at a time. Like I said, I had looked into some of Karen Welton's pain-free birth. Her Instagram has a lot of good information about prepping for a unmedicated birth, and really just like also just knowing the statistics, knowing the information, getting myself educated on a VBAC, I think was huge because I was able to just know that statistically I was likely going to be just fine during the birth experience. And also for going unmedicated, just letting my body be in control, you know, like God designed our bodies to give mm-hmm. birth. And I really just, I had gone into natural labor, which was a huge first goal for me, was to go into natural labor and hopefully not have to be induced. And so going into natural labor, I just knew, you know, my body was ready. So I just leaned into every curve and, you know, I had small hangups where labor had stalled, but I just stayed the course. And really, just like you said, having a doula in your corner is huge, because I really do think my experience would have been much different if I didn't have a doula and one who also was very experienced with VBACs, and having obviously a provider also that really was, he was there, but he let my body do its thing, which was drastically different than my first provider, where he felt the need to step in at any, you know, any little slight hiccup. It was just like, okay, something's wrong. Whereas my second provider was really just let my body do its thing. And I actually remember him making a comment when I had asked him some questions as I started to get closer to my due date. And I remember him telling me, like, I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. He's like, if you end up in another C-section, it's going to be your choice, you know, unless mm-hmm. it's a flat out emergency. And so, yeah, just honestly, just knowing that I had a good team was probably 50% of how I got through having an unmedicated VBAC, because I just really trusted everybody that was there and trusted my body. And just knowing that each contraction was going to get me closer to, you know, giving birth and closer to my baby. So it was really just kind of a, like I said, kind of a spiritual experience. And my mom was also a big factor for me, because she had two unmedicated natural births for me and my brother. And that was 30 something years ago. And, you know, she had said it to me like it was no big deal. And then afterwards, I remember giving birth and I like, just,
this is
her.
A big deal.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you sold that to me differently, but yeah, using her as my inspiration too.
I love that. I love a lot of the things you said, and a lot of the things you said revolved around just being mentally ready. I think it's very different when you go into a birth and be like, yeah, I'm going to try and do it without an epidural and just kind of see what happens, but I'm not necessarily yes. against the epidural. And it's okay. It's totally okay to do that. And, you know, quite a few people do that, and that's fine. Right. But there's a big difference between that and getting mentally ready, like learning all about the things, listening to birth stories of people that have done it themselves, having a doula, being prepared,
yes.
realizing it's the long game. It's a mental game. It's a big, big, big mental game. And if you can get like the mind, what is the phrase? The mind,
what the mind
decides. Oh. Yeah, no, what the mind decides, the body will follow, or yes. something like that. Like
yes.
when you make up your mind, your body, a lot of your body sensations deal with your mental state, right? Or reflective mm-hmm. of your mental state. And if you're in a panic or freaking out, then your body is going to feel more pain. It's going to feel that stress and tension and 100%. Frustration. And if you're prepared for it and mentally know what to expect, then yeah, it's not going to be easy, but you are ready to meet it, and
yes.
you are prepared to receive it as much as you can be without having gone through it the first time. I think the second and third time it's easier because you kind of can anticipate what's coming a little bit. But yeah, just being ready and realizing it's a big mental game and having the right mental tools to help you cope through those big sensations that come with labor is a really important thing. And I love all of that. So cool. Well, we're going to link in the show notes a blog to the evidence for doulas. And we are going to also link, I think there's a blog about mental prep for VBAC. Well, I know there is. So look for those two things in the show notes to get ready. Oh, also, I'm going to give more work to the person writing the show notes, but we're also going to link to the blog about questions to ask your provider that Ramika used. And you can print off, it has a printable page that you can download and take with you to your provider and help you navigate finding out if they are the right fit for your birth or not. All right. So Ramika, thank you so much for being here with me today. It was such a joy to listen to you share your stories. And I just really appreciate you spending time with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. It was my pleasure. It was great talking to you.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody,
I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.